We are at a beautiful field in Granby for another Local Hero Spotlight with Jennifer Kaur, who I will say throughout 2025 is the new executive director of CESA, but then in 2026, I will stop referring to you as that.
Yeah, we got some time.
And Nate LaFlamme, who is the owner and operator of Dickinson Farm and Greenhouse here in Granby. LaFlamme, it's spelled like LaFlame with two M's and an E, but do you know about the drumming technique called a flam?
I don't.
I can't believe in your whole life as a LaFlamme, you don't know about the flam. It's like basically
something new.
I mean, it seems like they're more into farming than percussion.
That's true. But you should know that it's just a little light hit before like the major downbeat of a hit. And they call it a flam.
And that's not the da-dum-tsh.
You can use a flam for that if you would like. Yeah. But you're not growing drums here.
No.
What are you growing here in Granby?
Pretty much anything under the sun. Strawberry season right now, we have pick your own. Following strawberries will be pick your own blueberries. And following that, as the seasons turn, we have pick your own apples.
You are third generation of a farm family here. Tell us about the history of your family farm.
Yeah, so it was started by my grandfather, Leonard. And back in the 50s, he started off by rototilling gardens for people, him and his rototiller.
It's just like the guy who owns the truck. Like, everybody's got that one friend who's got a tiller, and he's got to make the rounds.
Exactly. You got to help everybody move if you've got a truck.
Fewer and fewer of them now, that's for sure.
That's exactly right. That's how he started. It was rototilling gardens. He had a truck and a rototiller. And from there, he worked three jobs and saved enough money to buy a couple acres in Chicopee. And that's where it all started. From there, I'd say about the 70s, he purchased this farm, which is one of three farms. And he cleared out trees in between and made it one big farm.
How big?
It was about 210 acres in its heyday. There's a couple lots that we've sold off over the years. And he kept the name the Dickinson Farm because it was the largest of the three farms, and they were the most recognized in town here.
You're not far from Amherst, and the Dickinson name is huge in Amherst. Is it the same Dickinson family as Emily Dickinson?
It is. There's a direct relation to it, and it's kind of funny how I did a little lineage how the farm became the farm, and it was actually gifted from an English king at one time saying, hey, we owe you a debt. Have some land in the New World.
Get out.
Yeah.
That part.
Basically, they were giving away what they didn't own.
It's very, very true.
Yeah.
That's very England.
That's how it all started with the Dickinson family. Yes, and there is a direct relation to Emily Dickinson out of Amherst.
How many acres are left then?
Geez, I haven't thought about it. It's probably 180 now.
It's still a lot of acres.
Especially for New England. Like, that's a large
land. It's a pretty big farm for Granby.
Tremendous amount of crop diversity visible here. Lots of stuff going on. It takes a lot of labor.
And there
lot
used to be much more going on. There was a lot of apples at one time, peaches, and actually at one time there was Christmas trees and shrubs. You try things that work and you learn things and things you don't want to do again.
So you were saying before that, you know, and we're seeing tons of people coming in, getting hauled out in a tractor to where the pick your own strawberry fields are right now.
You can see them from the road.
You got picked out last week, had to take the weekend off, right?
Yeah, we were hoping for a little sun. We got it yesterday, which is good, and ripened up enough to the point where we could give people good picking today.
But this is such a big farm that it's not all just pick your own strawberries and blueberries. What else do you got going on and when it's not a pick your own type season?
Oh, God, we have all kinds of squashes, corn. We'll do probably 60, 70 acres of corn. Everything that we leave out for the Hadley guys. No asparagus, no potatoes.
Let the Polish have what they will have.
Yes, they're good at it.
You French Canadians are going to keep
with
everything
else. I'm not lying, they're good at it. Yeah.
They'd only give you a hard time if you tried to grow asparagus here in Granby anyway.
I'm sure they would.
Talk about the business model, because who are you selling all of this food to?
We have a farm store on 202, but a lot of our products go to Market Basket chain all over New England. I believe they have close to 90 stores now, and we supply a lot of their stuff, flowers and produce.
Oh, so you're growing flowers here too?
Not at this location, but our Chicopee location and our 309 East State Street Route 202 location. We have a greenhouse there. Yeah.
An acre greenhouse, you're saying?
At least. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Back to the Market Basket thing. People might remember from a few years ago, there was this big debate about which of these two brothers is going to take charge of the Market Basket empire. There's now a new debate about the family trying to oust the brother that the employees seemed to rally behind last time. But you have your own personal story with interacting with Market Basket and the head of the company.
Oh, yeah. During that time, when things were very rocky with Market Basket, Arthur he was trying to, his family, I believe, was trying to oust him off the board. During that time, stores, their shelves went bare and employees weren't working. And when it all resolved, Arthur actually contacted the farm and said, I'm real sorry for what happened, because we grew all kinds of corn for him. And he made square with the situation that he didn't have to. They're a great family-run business.
And that's why you see local product in these stores, yeah. Because there is this connection still. It's still intact.
Yeah, they're going to call you and say, hey, sorry about the hassle. We're going
to
make good.
Oh, yeah. They didn't have to make good by us, but they did.
And further, why it's important when you see those local products in bigger stores to make sure that you're purchasing them to encourage those stores to keep engaging with local farmers and local producers.
Yeah, it helps support farmers like Nate LaFlamme from Dickinson Farm and Greenhouse here in Granby, where we're in the midst of pick-your-own strawberry season. Should we go, like, look at the strawberries? Do we have to wait for the tractor to come back?
No, we can go out there. We can walk, if you don't mind, and I'll show you what we're currently picking.
You're still planting strawberries, too.
Yes, next year's crop, and they look beautiful.
I was just going to say, I want to note all of the smiling people. Like, they come back in with their, like, giant baskets of strawberries, just aglow.
Be sure to take some samples while we're out there.
Yeah.
The thing I have to keep remembering about
growing strawberries is that it is kind of like asparagus. You got to plant it early and then wait a year.
Yes.
Because your first year, you're going to get, like, nothing.
So the ones that you just planted are planted this year, or they're in the one-year waiting period?
They were just planted this year about 2 weeks ago, and with all the rain we had, we've really seen them flourish. We're really hoping that next year is going to be a bumper crop.
Tell us how the season has been so far. We're still kind of in the early end of things.
The season has been good for us, and I don't really know why. It's taken a hamper on a lot of people, a lot of other farmers and strawberry fields in the area, but we got lucky on this one. We have a beautiful crop.
So how many employees do you have here at Dickinson Farm? I mean, you've got the community coming to be your employees with Pick Your Own.
Yes.
The community? Does that count as employees when you pay to be to do the work?
Well, there isn't a lot of pick-your-own squash or corn going on right now, so I'm assuming you have people helping harvest.
We have about 12 employees right now, full-time.
Are you making hay as well?
Yes. Yeah, we just made hay. We made about 1,000 square bales and about 200 round bales.
And what happens to the hay?
It covers the strawberries, and some of it we sell in the fall for landscapers and lawns.
Is that your house right there?
No, that's my grandfather's house.
Oh, sweet.
He's no longer with us, but we got family members in it.
What is that
bird? A red-winged blackbird?
Yeah.
Yep. I hear a killdeer. They're unmistakable. These are our late-season blueberries here. These will be ready in probably mid to late August.
When do you think the first blueberries will be ready to go?
We should be having them within the next 2 weeks, I'd say.
How many varieties of blueberries do you have planted?
I believe we have about 3.
How about strawberries? How many varieties of strawberries?
We also have 3, and that'll bring us, having the 3 varieties ripen at different times will help us extend the picking season as long as we can. It's a short season. It's maybe 3 weeks tops.
You get several of your plant varieties right here from the valley locally?
Yes, we either get them from Teddy Simorowski or Norse, and this year I believe they came from Norse, and they really look beautiful. On our left here is the field for next year, and we just planted them, and we see a lot of new growth, so we're really optimistic these are going to flourish.
Talk about the planting method. So what we're looking at is like about a 2-foot raised bed with a trench in between them, and then the plants are planted on the higher ground. Talk about that system.
Yeah, it's a raised bed system, a little different than like they do in Florida. They do a really labor-intensive planting over poly, which there's benefits to it, but it's tough to outweigh the risk and the reward here in New England. So we find this is the happy medium.
And it helps with weeds or drainage or both? Or
mainly drainage. And gives them enough moisture where their roots can reach the moisture. But at the same time, as they get bigger and their berries aren't sitting in the water or the low spots.
We're with Nate LaFlamme at Dickinson Farm in Granby. And we were saying that you're a third generation farmer. We can see your grandfather's old house over there. Was farming something that you knew you always wanted to do? Was there a period of time where you went Rahmspringa and decided to try some other career or something like that?
No, actually, when I was young, farming was not something I was really interested in. It was hard work, and I wanted to be playing with my friends. But as time went on and realized that the simple things in life are quite beautiful, that's where you said, you know, there's nothing better with one with nature and growing something for somebody. That really put things into perspective.
What percentage do you think of your overall business is the pick your own versus either your farm store or the selling to places like Market Bath?
I would say that the greenhouses are a good 60% of our business. The rest is divided equally between the pick your own, things we pick for Market Basket, and wholesale. Yeah.
And some of the greenhouse things that you do that is not in the traditional growing season that does well are, you were saying, poinsettias?
Yes, yes. We'll grow about 50,000 poinsettias, wow, mainly for Market Basket. Real simple, just red and white ones.
Well, here comes the tractor with a question.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. That's...
We love the sound of tractors in the background. It's not special effect. There goes a family out to the next row of good pickings.
Yeah, if you come and pick strawberries, you get a short wagon ride, too. Kids love it.
It's a bonus.
Yes. Yeah.
What do people need to know about pick your own strawberries so they don't wreck things up and make the most sense of the berries?
Really, there's a lot of berries that are in the plants. You just got to move them around and look for them. A lot of people say the picking's not so good sometimes. You just got to move them around. There's plenty.
What about birds? Some people that have berries have all sorts of manner of ways of trying to keep the birds away. I've been to farms, blueberry picking, where an air cannon goes off and traumatizes everybody like every 2 to 3 minutes. But yeah.
I was curious about this because now we've seen two of your blueberry plots and there's no netting. And we saw a bird coming like right through it.
Absolutely. Birds, if anybody tells you any different, really, I'm not sure. But birds are a farmer's worst enemy. They come for the corn and they see the blueberries and they eat them too. What they can do is devastating, but it seems it's odd that year after year is different. Sometimes it'll be really bad, and other years not so much. We're hoping this year isn't as bad as last year.
Uh-huh.
They attacked a whole field of corn.
Wow.
Yes.
What type of birds are the worst?
Mainly starlings.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
starlings.
Oh, yeah.
The invasive species
the
that
bastards.
We brought over because of Shakespeare.
Because of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
They're smart, though. They'll jump on an ear of corn.
That's the
problem. I mean, they read Shakespeare. That's everybody smart.
They'll pick the end of the corn right on the tip, pick away until they can't anymore, and run right to the next one and do the same thing over and over and decimate a whole field in no time.
So what are you doing to do it? Or is it just like this is part of the circle of life and you have to deal with it?
Yeah, basically. We are looking into a Dutch company that's actually has lasers that we're reading good things about. I'm going to look more into it, though.
Come out here with a lightsaber and take it all...
I would amp up the kids' fun, like, pretty fast.
Yeah.
Come see the corn and the light show.
Yeah. Nate's letting us eat some strawberries
so
here.
We're letting these ripen up a little bit, but
yeah, they smell amazing.
Plenty of them already.
Look at that bad, Larry.
Oh, yeah, they're beautiful.
That's a huge one. Oh, these are all huge.
Yeah, these are all huge.
How much do you think you lose product-wise to people just snacking while they're picking?
Well, we expect people to try them out. But, I mean, I don't think it's that considerable.
So you heard it from
Nate.
Go ahead and eat it while you're picking.
Yeah, some of the kids come back plastered and red. They might have ate more than they picked. But.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's the price of kids being usually better at finding the strawberries because they're small and they can see further into the plant. This is why I've stopped buying non-local strawberries because they don't taste like this at all.
No.
This is what strawberries are supposed to taste like. Not that weird, bland nonsense that looks like a strawberry, is mostly green, probably ripened in a greenhouse somewhere, and then shipped to you. Like, this is what it's supposed to taste
like. And isn't it more fun when you, like, have to wait for the strawberries? And you'll be like, it's strawberry season, we're gonna go crazy. I'm gonna come plastered and red and eat 10 buckets of strawberries myself.
Yeah, and if you're nostalgic for the taste, freeze them.
It has spoiled me as a farmer. You go into the big box stores, you'll see beautiful strawberries, but they're flavorless. Man, having a real fresh local strawberry, it's excellent.
I'm surprised at how sweet they are, given how much water we've had.
Right,
it's
here, really.
And how big they were. Sometimes the big ones aren't that sweet, but these,
like,
I better
like,
check again.
My very first job ever, 12 years old, picking strawberries all summer with
Do
my
you
brother.
Hate it?
No, but they were not this big, and that would have like changed things dramatically because you got paid by the volume.
Oh.
So,
Sure. These are the size of a ping pong ball for size reference for anyone listening.
And a party in your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, I can definitely say experiment number two, also just as sweet.
I don't know exactly what we did right this year. A lot of farms are, they're suffering the weather, but we have a great crop.
Don't question the magic or it goes away.
Yeah.
Clearly, I mean, you're on a little slope here. Like this land we're standing on, these rows are dry. Like that's a feat.
I think part of the magic is strawberries are heavy feeders. They deplete the soil pretty quickly, so this is a first year for this field.
And then do you let the different fields rest too, or how does it work?
We rotate. We'll have corn here next year, yeah. and we'll enhance the soil with some Sudan grass, plow that under.
Can you talk to us a little bit about your greenhouse production? That's an environment you're controlling everything
yes.
about it.
Yes. I feel that. I don't want to be a downer, and I feel farming's been tougher year after year with the weather cycles. And so we focused more into what we're really good at and what we can predict the weather in the greenhouses. We've done really well with our annuals, perennials, and our hanging baskets. The only real variables in the greenhouse is, you know, oil prices for pots are all plastic. They're all petroleum-based soil prices. Most of that mix comes from Canada. So there's still, you got your ups and downs and your unknowns, but they're a little more controlled in the greenhouse.
An operation like this where you have so many enterprises going on, it gives you a little bit of a buffer. If one's doing well and another one you're losing a little bit of money over time, that's all.
Absolutely. And I think that came from my grandfather. That was his philosophy, is don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Don't put all your strawberries in one basket.
Yeah, it's good to use farming analogies like that.
Sure.
I was going to say, like, it's a diversified Farmo 1K.
It's so, like, on display visibly here. You can see all of the different crops. Pretty beautiful.
Here comes your tractor driver taking another family to go picking.
Everyone is so happy. You have to be happy with strawberries.
I know, and I can't believe that you would look at this glorious, like, little red sweetness peeking out of all of these plants and not say it's a beautiful sight. When is the farm open for pickings?
So we're open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. If things get picked out or the weather's not cooperating, please check our Facebook. We'll do daily updates.
And then we'll teach you how to do a la flam. You can go look up a YouTube video while you're there. After all that hard work, we gotta take the tractor back.
We did see it go back and forth a couple of times. It just looks so fun.
Is it fun driving people in and out of the field all day? What's your name?
Mike.
You do this day in and day out, driving people?
Well, during the season, yeah. Yes.
Is it fun?
On hot days, it's not so fun. But on days like today, it's great. Yes. Okay, guys.
Here we go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, who wouldn't have fun riding this?
Right?
Thanks so much to Nate LaFlamme from Dickinson Farm for tailoring us around.
And now to explore shifting landscapes, memories, and perspective with composer, professor, and multi-instrumentalist